I'm sitting here with Matt Bischoff, who is truly a Renaissance man, owner of his own bike company, singer in a couple bands, father, competitive beard grower.
Yeah, that's the most important one.
And one of the most colorful characters you'll run into in Greater Cincinnati. But Matt, what I want to talk about first is probably your greatest success, which is your failure.
Yeah. Well, success is not an option. So that it's not. You know, some people say success, but it's like no success. Everything I do, no matter if it's bearding or, you know, my bike company or anything I put my mind to, I just want it to rule. You know, that's basically my motto. I do a lot of different things, man, and sometimes I spread myself thin, but I'm just a passionate guy, and I'm kind of like constantly a ball of energy, you know, like kind of like ADD, but not really diagnosed with it. And I'm just constantly doing stuff and making things happen.
So how did you start Failure Bikes?
Basically, a little brief story. I've been riding BMX since I was about 9 years old. My brother did it. He raced BMX, and I kind of saw what he was doing. So I started riding. Well, my brother since quit riding, but I kept riding and became a professional. And some people think different things when they think of like a professional, you know, BMX rider. And what I was doing is I was traveling and going to competitions and picking up sponsors and things like that, which I still have some sponsors, even though I'm old. You know, I'm 37, and these kids coming up today are so good. I go to the skate park, and there's kids, you know, half my age doing things that I could never imagine doing. The sport's progressed so much. But from being a professional rider, I rode for this company, Snafu, which I still ride for. They're out of California, and they've supported me, you know, for 12 years maybe. And I wanted to do my own brand, so I came up with the name Failure. And a lot of people think it's like a negative name, but to me it's like everyone has to fail in life. No matter what you do, you fail first before you succeed. And you can't get anywhere in life until, you know, you got to make mistakes and learn from those mistakes. And it's kind of like it's kind of a cool name, you know, and trying to turn a negative into a positive, sort of. When I started the brand, I contacted my friends at Snafu, and I said, hey, you know, how do you make BMX products in Taiwan? Like, I had zero clue. I know stuff got made in China. Some stuff gets made in Taiwan. Some people get stuff made in the USA. So I just kind of asked those guys, and those guys put me in touch with a girl. Well, she's a woman named Sherry Xu. She's what's called a trading agent. So since I don't speak Chinese, I deal with Sherry, who then deals with all the factories that you need to get things manufactured for. So she can negotiate price, and I send her files and CAD drawings, and she will make me prototypes of those CAD drawings and send them over. So she takes care of everything. And then, you know, once everything's done, she ships it to me or my distributors. So basically, the bottom line is how I got started was I basically met Sherry Xu through my sponsor, Snafu, and I still deal with her today. And because of those people, that's kind of like how I got my brand going.
Do you make complete bikes, parts, frames? What do you manufacture?
Complete bikes are on the horizon. We're going to be doing those because, honestly, like, we make high-end frames and parts and sprockets and grips. We also make soft goods, like we sell a lot of t-shirts and hats and stuff like that. My backyard, we call the Failure Compound. And when I bought this house, I have to have an acre of land to build dirt jumps and ramps. Well, I had a part-time job at Red Bull for a while, and I thought of this concept of, hey, there's a lot of ramp builders out in the, you know, in the country that never get the recognition for building a lot of the stuff that these pros ride on, okay? It's like, wow, look at this awesome ramp. Who built this? Well, there's a ton of ramp builders. So there's one guy who's like a master ramp builder. He builds ramps for the X Games and Woodward Camp, which is a big action sports facility in Pennsylvania and California. And they're also building indoor snowboard facilities in Colorado and over in China. They got a Woodward China. Well, it's Nate Wessel's his name. He's like the man ramp builder. I didn't know Nate at the time. what I did was I had this concept called the Backyard Build-Off. So I approached Red Bull. I said, hey, I want to do a contest, and here is what the contest is. I want to take three teams of ramp builders. So I found nine guys to make up three-man teams. I had Nate Wessel be the head foreman overseer of this event. And basically what it boiled down to was, in my backyard, like, Red Bull gave me $30,000 to do this event. It was my dream, and I made it happen. And what happened was, three teams of builders, there's three-man teams, had 3 days to build the ultimate ramp in my backyard. So I basically convinced Red Bull to build me a free ramp, ultimately. No, but it happened to be in my yard. But here's the deal. The three teams drew up designs and built this amazing ramp in my yard. And I invited, I handpicked like some of my favorite riders in the world and invited them, and Red Bull flew them in, and they stayed right down the street at the Red Roof Inn, and we had a BMX contest, and this is how it went. The ramp builders judged the riders that were riding on their ramps, and the riders judged which section of the course was their favorite, most unique section to ride on. Because it's all like ramp building is like an art form. So basically, that was in 2005, and it really helped market and push Failure, because that was the year I really started the brand in 2005, came right out of the bat with the Red Bull Backyard Build-Off and built a masterpiece in my backyard. So it was a unique concept. Red Bull was so psyched on it that we did it again the next year in Chicago, did the same thing. It was a great experience, and I'm a big fan of communities building skate parks for kids, because a lot of kids these days sit around and play video games and play with toys. And I never see kids out that much on their bikes. Like, when I was a kid, man, we used to go in the woods and build dirt mounds to jump our bikes off of. And that's how I got excited about doing it. It's make your own stuff. And kids are just lazy these days. So I think it's good, having skate parks and facilities for kids to go ride and skateboard. And
let's change gears for a second. Let's talk about your beard. How long is it?
Well, let me see. Probably a little bit longer than John Holmes. No, my beard, I would say my beard is, 17 inches maybe. I don't really get a ruler out to measure it, but probably goes down to my belly button, I'd say.
So that's not part of the competition length?
Not really. It's there's tons of different categories in competitive bearding, which I think it's hilarious. Some people take this extremely seriously, and I just find it fun. So whenever I go to a competition, I'm just there to hang out with people, and if I do well in the contest, that's just a bonus. But I tell you what, through the community of people in the beard world, there's tons of competitions all over the country. Then there's national competition, and then there's the world's. One of my greatest accomplishments in my entire life was when I got third place at the Beard Nationals in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in the freestyle category. So not only am I a freestyle BMX rider, but I am a freestyle bearder. But is bearder a word? I'm not sure. Basically, yeah, I've met some of the coolest people in the beard community. I have some great friends all over the country that I've met through having something as silly as hair on your face, you know?
And as strange as it may sound, your wife's also involved with beard competition.
Yes. She actually, she supports me, which some women wouldn't want to support someone with a beard. I know a lot of girls that can't stand it. But I had a beard when I met my wife, and she started what's called the Whiskerinas, which is a fake beard society for women, and she started a Facebook page and started out that way. And now there's different chapters popping up throughout the United States of different Whiskerinas chapters, and she does stuff for charity, and that's the whole kind of thing. It's almost like a sorority kind of thing. It's like where different girls can just kind of have a girls' night out, put a fake beard or a fake mustache on and do some fun events, you know, for charity. And like I said, she did the first Whiskerina's National Ladies Beard and Mustache Championship the night before the Men's National Championship in Lancaster, PA. It was a huge, humongous success, and she raised a lot of money for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. And so, yeah, it's really cool.
And then what's the newest band?
The newest band is called Moonbow, and it's funny because we were trying to think of a band name for like a month or two, and Moonbow was something that my friend Davey McElfresh thought of, and I thought it was ridiculously stupid, to be honest with you. I shouldn't be saying this, it'll probably kill me, but it almost became an inside joke. So me and a couple guys in the band started making videos back and forth talking about Moonbow and, you know, all the cosmos and all this stuff. Well, it ended up like growing on you, you know, so we ended up just saying, heck with it, we're just going to call the band Moonbow. But when I tell people, like, oh, I'm in this band Moonbow, like, most people like the name, you know, that I'm friends with, you know what I mean? So, but Moonbow is a serious project, and Steve Earle, who played in a Cincinnati band called the Afghan Whigs, plays drums. Davey McElfresh, who lives in Covington, Kentucky, he plays the fiddle on tour with Hank III. He plays guitar in Moonbow. Dave Angstrom, playing in a band called Super Fuzz, and then Ryan McAllister plays in a Cincinnati band called Valley of the Sun. And we're getting ready to go in the studio in mid-January 2012. We already have 12 songs written. We're going to track the album and then just, you know, play some shows and hopefully go over to Europe in 2012. And it's just fun making good rock and roll, you know, heavy rock music with some amazing guys, and it's just been an awesome time, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
We'll look forward to that coming out next year. Thank you for your time. Thanks for being on Local Exposure.
No problem. I'll get the out of here.